Hello, beautiful people. How are you feeling today? Are you feeling amazing? Are you feeling good? Or are you excited to learn something new once again? I am sure you're excited to learn something new. All right, let's quickly dive back to CRM chapter 5, CRM in B2B and B2C markets. Marketing in B2B and B2C markets. Firstly, let's try to understand what are B2B and B2C. B2B is the acronym for business to business. It is a type of business relationship in which businesses provide goods or services to other businesses. Businesses sell products and offer services that specifically meet the needs of particular customers who are other businesses and not individuals. B2B. A company operating in B2B will be harder to set up than a B2C company because the contracts are generally for higher amounts. B2C wherein stands for business to consumer. It is a type of business relationship in which businesses provide goods or services to individuals. A business operating in B2C can quickly sell products and services, and sales can range from very low value to extremely expensive. An individual can purchase a product or service from a business once and never have any dealings with it again as well. How do B2B and B2C clients differ? Buying impulse versus rationality. B2C customers' purchasing behavior is dictated by decisions based on certain desires or an attractive price. However, B2B businesses, business customer purchases are well planned, predictable, economically driven, and realized in terms of business value. B2B customers are pragmatic buyers who spend more time researching products and measuring their sustainability, suitability, and financial benefit to the business. Number two, sole decider versus multiple decider. Unlike B2C buyers who are single decision makers and make buying decisions independently, B2B customers are often involved in a more complex buying process with multiple players. It's not that easy. Since there are many parties involved in the purchase decision from the B2B customer side, it is important for a business selling to another business to facilitate comfortable purchasing conditions that can satisfy multiple workflows and several actors. It's not easy to come and just walk in the door and sell a B2B product. There are multiple decision makers who you need to impress, who you need to get on your side. Number three, short-term relationship versus long-term relationship. B2B customers want to build long-term relationships and partnerships, unlike B2C buyers who tend to buy sporadically in much smaller volumes and then they might just stop for good. In contrast, companies that put a lot of effort into the long process of choosing a reputable supplier prefer to establish strong and stable ties with established partners. Long-term relationships provide endless potential for repeat purchases that are at the heart of B2B e-commerce. Number four, fixed prices versus indexed prices. B2C consumers generally place orders at a fixed price, which is the same for the rest of the visitors to the online store. However, this is not the case for B2B counterparts. In B2B area, there are no universal prices because prices can fluctuate depending on the customer, their location, their negotiated contracts, the history of the business relationships, and the quantity as well. Number five, direct payments versus post-delivery payments. To complete an order, B2C consumers usually pay using an appropriate payment solution, credit or debit card. Whereas in the B2B ecosystem, order payments are made regularly by credit because business customers occasionally make a few purchases in short period of time. Instead of paying for each order that has been placed, B2B buyers receive a monthly invoice or a quote, which is a great payment alternative in ensuring quick and frequent ordering. Number six, fast deliveries versus punctual deliveries. B2C consumers care only about one thing, which is delivery of their time dispersed orders and the speed at which it is getting delivered. Companies operating in the B2B framework, whose purchases are for commercial purposes are scheduled, are more concerned with the predictable delivery time. Getting an order on time is crucial for flexible business because B2B businesses will then offer it to other customers and sub-customers, and the entire cycle is dependent on the time of the delivery. The B2B purchasing process is distinguished from B2C due to its complexity, scope, and scale, while B2B customers cannot be treated as regular end users. The multiple incompatibilities of individual and business customers' shopping behavior And expectations mean that approaching your online B2B customers as if they were ordinary buyers could cost you dearly. B2B versus B2C at a glance. The target audience at B2C and B2B. Building relationships with your target audience. Building brand awareness across the market. Sharing expertise with them as they are more rationally driven. Focusing on triggering emotions and quick emotions purchase decisions. Focusing on the niche market, focusing on large scale markets. Long selling cycle, shorter selling cycles. Involving more people like decision makers and influencers. Involving individuals or families. Your main goal here at B2B is to build trust and credibility with your content. And your main goal in B2C is to create impulse and urge to buy with branding and your marketing messages. At a glance, you can quickly take a look at B2B versus B2C and then we'll move forward. Sure, understood. All right, let's move forward. The functions. B2C CRM, B2B CRM. Let's compare on the number of leads, lead management, lead generation, and lead journey. At B2C CRM, it is number of leads which are required are far more versus B2B, lesser number of leads, but it is easier to manage. Here, it needs better lead management criteria. Lead management is lead level management. Over here in B2B is contact level management. Each person is treated as an individual identity. Over here, there may be multiple contacts within just one company. B2B CRM needs account hierarchical structure because there might be multiple people from the same company, right, coming to you, dealing with you. But in B2C, there is only one person that is treated as an individual entity, right? Lead generation, multiple lead generation sources, lesser number of lead generation sources. Lead journey, very complex, comparatively very simple. Lead came, you went to the website, did not buy, went again, retargeting, did not buy, retargeting, buy, added to the cart, didn't buy, finally purchased. Right, the same lead may come from multiple sources, traverse many paths before they actually become leads, wherein on B2B, leads are either bought or generated from few resources. Right? All right. Going on and comparing, sales cycle in B2C is shorter, B2B is much longer. So thus it needs the ability to trigger repeat purchases of the lead, wherein B2B CRM needs long-term management of leads over here. Marketing campaigns, complex trigger-based trips and workflows are extremely important, wherein a one-to-one email campaign are the usual communication channels. Purpose served, generally B2C companies want to manage marketing, sales, operations in one place with a complete picture of everything. That is that they need CRM plus marketing automation plus lead management in one platform. And B2B use CRM for sales management, sales performance tracking. Call volumes are much higher, comparatively lower in B2B. This needs proper telephony integrations to manage phone calls. Here, lesser calls, so easier to manage. Customer requirements. High volume of customer service support requests, integration with customer ticketing system, chat, etc. required. Customer chats are required, customer autobots are required, customer call service center is required. But over there, much more or less if the business is not a SaaS-based business. Moving forward, proposal management, invoicing, not so important in B2C, but a most important feature of our B2B CRMs. Call center software integration. Sometimes there are large call center teams, therefore needs bigger call center softwares. But over here, it's not mandatory. Tracking activities, various customer data contact information, purchases, clicks on website, comments on Facebook pages, etc. are required. But over here, as the activities are limited, tracking all customer activities may not be a priority. As simple as that. As customers are limited, over here, tracking all customers are not a priority. But here, you need to check everything, wherever they're coming, from the website, Facebook pages, mails, wherever. Over here, you will see repeat buyers in B2C might be many and it's impossible to track on a personal level. But repeat buyers on B2B CRM can be handled on a personal level because of very low volume again. Building relationships, as there are multiple factors and external agents involved here, building a relationship with the customer is very, very difficult. Over here in B2B CRM, it's very, very, very easy and simple to manage customer relationships because customers are fewer, you can manage them much more effectively and easily as well. Having said that, let's go ahead. Role of emotions. B2B purchases are generally not so emotional, so tracking is not necessary, but B2C are very emotional. Hence, proper tech tracking is required. Loyalty programs. Sales focused in B2B, so you don't really need loyalty program. But in B2C, loyalty programs are a big important thing because loyalty and referral programs can play an important role over here in B2C. Hence, a CRM has to be equipped to run that loyalty program for you. Social engagements are very important in B2C. So social profiles, behavior tracking, personal branding, digital marketing becomes very, very, very important, wherein social engagement in B2B is less important in the buyer's understanding or the buying cycle of the overall customer. Viral quotient. B2C campaigns have higher viral quotient. They need to be going viral so that the CRM needs to be robust enough to handle high volume of data, wherein high quotient in B2B is limited, so there is less profitability, less probability for high volume of data. Users in B2C businesses also work with agencies, so there is the need of transparency as well as the capability to handle different types of users. Wherein in B2B, agencies don't usually come into the picture, and if they do, they are easily manageable. Customization, B2C CRM product is standard, and B2B CRM products are more customized depending on business to business, industry to industry, so on and so forth. Some examples of B2B businesses and B2C businesses. Flipkart, Myntra, Jabong, eBay, Amazon are all B2C, wherein Intel, Google, SAP, Tata Steel, Infosys, Accenture, IBM are all B2B businesses. So far, so good. All clear. Let's move ahead. CRM in services. Now, CRM in services is where you have to understand that how can you implement CRM in a service, specifically building long-term engagements with the customer, right? CRM is essentially about building long-term and mutually beneficial relationships with customers. While providing services to customers, the issue of building relationships takes on a very different dimension due to the very nature of the services. Below are some important characteristics of the services. Number one is perishability. Service is a highly perishable item, and the time element has great significance in service marketing. Service, if not used in time, is lost forever. Service cannot be stored again or restored for that matter. Fluctuating demand. Service demand has high degree of fluctuations. The changes in demand can be seasonal or by weeks, days, or even hours. Most of the services have peak demand in peak hours, normal demand and low demand on off period time as well. Intangibility. Unlike products, services cannot be touched, felt, tasted, or sensed before they are actually availed. A service is an abstract phenomenon, and it is only how your customer feels after they've availed the service. Inseparability. Personal service cannot be separated from the individual, and some personalized services are created and consumed simultaneously. For example, haircut is not possible without the presence of an individual. A doctor can only treat when his patient is present. So inseparability is something which services is also bound towards. Heterogeneity. The feature of service by provider cannot be uniform or standardized. A doctor can charge much higher fees to a rich client and take much low from a poor patient. Right? Make sense? Alright. Pricing of services. Pricing decisions about services are influenced by perishability, fluctuation in demand, and inseparability. Quality of a service cannot be carefully standardized. Pricing of services is dependent on demand and competition, where variable pricing may be used. Service quality is not statistically measurable. It is defined in the form of reliability, responsiveness, empathy, and assurance, all of which are in control of employees' direction interacting with customers. For service, customer satisfaction and delight are very, very important. A CRM can help you store customer data such as user behavior, how long a customer has been with your business, purchase records, notes on sales interactions, which you can use to optimize your sales and marketing processes and improve customer service across the organization. Right? That is where your CRM is going to help you build all of these things. All of it. So as industry sales CRM softwares help you identify the actual customers and their preferences. It is an ideal choice for tracking sales and service executives for increased business opportunities. Sales management softwares can also support service teams with great features. What are the key functionalities service industries should look for in a CRM? Integrated document management, single system omnichannel communication, vendor and contact management, sales order and purchase order generation, billing and payments, marketing automation to generate leads, and campaign management. All of it in any service industry CRM. There are three situations in which relationship marketing is most applicable to a service firm. These are an ongoing desire for the service on the part of the customer. Example, a telephone service is an ongoing requirement. Number two, customer decides which service provider he will want to use. Number three, there are alternative service suppliers and switching off customers from one supplier to another is very common, right? When such conditions exist, then there is a need and opportunity for the service firms for attracting customers and building relationships with them. Promising and delivering quality service is one of the most important ways for differentiation on dimensions that are meaningful to the customers. There are five dimensions that determine the service quality. They are tangibility, which is the appearance of physical facilities, equipments, personnel, and communication materials. Customers tend to expect clean and professional facilities and shops. Employees who look groomed and neat, and well-written and designed materials such as menus, websites, and signs. Attention to appearance can indicate that your company takes customer comfort seriously. So the way your people look, the way your customers perceive it is going to decide all of the success of your business. The way your branding is done, the way your menu is placed, the way your website is made, all of it is going to leave an impression on your customer because you don't have a product to impress them. All of these things become a part of your journey to be giving a lasting impressions to the customer in the first go itself. Reliability. Reliability is the ability to perform the promised service dependably and accurately. Doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it is essentially to be able to please your customers. Doing what you are going to do, doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it, it is essential to pleasing your customers. They want to rely on your business to deliver a working product or effective service, to get help when they need it, and for all of this to happen in a timely fashion. Then comes responsiveness, which is letting your customers know that you're listening to them at all times and working actively to solve all their problems. You got to keep listening to them 24/7, 365. Assurance. Assurance is the knowledge and courtesy of employees and their ability to convey trust and confidence. Customers expect businesses to be experts in the service they deliver. Communicating that expertise to customers help measure them that they can trust you. Whether you accomplish this by displaying credentials and industry certifications or customer testimonials. Empathy. Showing empathy towards customer means ensuring your company showcases care and love towards the other people. Training your employees on how to provide excellent and empathetic service where smiles and engaging conversations occur regularly. It can definitely help you exceed expectations from your customers. However, these dimensions are not equally important for service quality. In most services, reliability and responsiveness emerge as the most important two dimensions. The cost of losing a customer. The four costs of customer loss, the true cost of customer loss is made up of four key direct factors: direct costs, acquisition costs, social costs, and operational costs. What are direct costs? Direct costs encompass the impact a lost customer has on your revenue both now and in the future. It includes the often overlooked cost of lost potential account growth. Acquisition costs. Did you know that it costs about 25x more to acquire a new customer than to retain an existing one? You obviously know this already. Even if you replace each customer you lose, you will significantly hinder your profit by your growth potential. You significantly are hindering your profit growth potential because you have to acquire a new one versus retaining the current one already. Social costs. According to a Zendesk survey, 95% of people share bad experiences with others, while only 45% share those bad experiences over social media. Among those who share bad experiences, they tell an average of 5 people. So a lost customer can quickly snowball into additional loss, both with the current and potential customer bases. Operational costs. When offboarding a lost customer, you need to ensure all property has been turned and client details are shared with the new provider. This operational cost comes after the point at which you'll receive no additional revenue. It's just dead weight cost. Here are a few customer service statistics that serve to emphasize just how paramount excellence customer service can be for your bottom line. 68% of consumers say they're willing to pay more for your products and services from a brand known to offer good customer service experiences, according to HubSpot. For 86%, good customer service turns one-time clients into long-term brand champions. Kuros, an NPS promoter score, has customer lifetime value that's 600% to 1400% higher than a detractor from parent company. 89% of consumers are more likely to make another purchase after a positive customer service experience. Salesforce research. 93% of customers are likely to make repeat purchase decisions with companies who offer excellent customer service. 93% of customers are likely to make repeat purchase decision if you offer excellent customer service. Just one thing. Excellent customer service. If the company's customer service is excellent, 78% of consumers will do business with them again after a mistake. Increasing customer retention rates by just 5% increases profits by 25 to 59. Increasing customer retention rates by just 5% can increase profits between 25 to 95%. Nearly 3 out of 5 consumers report that good customer service is vital for them to feel loyalty towards a brand. And a good customer service experience heavily impacts recommendations. Consumers who rate a company's service as good are 38% more likely to recommend that company versus the others. Investing in new customers is between 5 and 25 times more expensive than retaining the existing ones. Investing in new customers is between 5 to 25 times more expensive than retaining existing ones. This holds true for every kind of business, most of them. 83% of customers agree that they feel more loyal to brands that respond and resolve their complaints. Businesses can grow revenues between 4 to 8% above their market when prioritizing better customer service experiences. 80% of companies use customer satisfaction scores to analyze customer experience and improve it, by HBR, which is Harvard Business Review. 74% of companies believe that they can use analytical reports to improve the customer experience, by Deloitte. The customer experience management market worldwide is worth as much as $7.6 billion in 2020. This is just a 16.9% year-over-year increase from its value of $6.5 billion in 2019. And this is only going to go up and up in the years to come. Just customer experience management market. That's it. Learning from and managing customer defection. If a customer stops buying or does not buy certain services, the service provider calls immediately to get a feedback. The customer may tell him that a competitor is offering the same service at a much lower price, or that a company's personnel was rude to him when he visited the last time. The company can decide to lower its prices or decide to hold a training program for its employees depending upon the feedback it gets from the defected customers. Defection analysis also helps companies to decide which service quality investments will be profitable. A bank made large investments to improve the accuracy of monthly account statements, but when the defected customers were interviewed, it was found that not many had deserted because of inaccurate monthly account statements. In a service organization, quality is affected by action or inaction of every employee. Zero defection program must have supporters at all levels of the organization, higher to the middle to the bottom. Having everyone in the company work towards keeping customers and basing rewards on how well they do creates an atmosphere where employees are eager to put in extra effort to please the customer. Service recovery. Service recovery is the process used to recover dissatisfied or lost members by identifying and fixing the problem or making amends for the failure in customer or clinical service. Service recovery is important because it gives companies the opportunity to meet customer expectations and prevent a customer from potentially churning. It is a chance for the business to save customer relationships and improve and ultimately lead to more satisfied customers. Service recovery strategies and steps. Here are key strategies and steps in the service recovery process. Get leadership buy-in, establish recovery criteria, create a service recovery team, determine protocol, resurvey the customer, measure impact over time. Number one, get leadership buy-in. When creating any new process, buy-in from the right people ensures access to the resources and support necessary to launch your program. To get this buy-in, it's important to show how much business could be lost from negative service interactions. According to Zendesk's Customer Experience Trends report, almost 50% of customers have stopped doing business with the brand due to poor customer service experiences. The number of relationships salvaged by service recovery is a direct contributor to future revenue and customer retention. Leverage these metrics to show the leaders the importance of building a service recovery program for your company. Number two, establish recovery criteria. Consider your unique time, budget, and the brand provisions as you establish the criteria around when to flag an interaction or customer complaint for service recovery. For example, some companies might consider any rating below 5 stars as an opportunity for recovery. In other cases, especially if you have a small team, you may only be able to tackle strongly negative feedback and have to set a specified threshold to trigger a service recovery workflow. Your recovery strategy is entirely dependent on your team's resources and priorities and can be easily adjusted over time if you decide to scale the program. It can be 5 stars in the other case. For you, it can be 4 stars or less. It can be an order value dropping, whatever. Whatever is your recovery, focus on that, get it into action, and have a recovery program ready. Number three, create a service recovery team. Once you've established your criteria, it's important for you to decide who will be responsible for acting on service recovery tickets. This decision will be informed by the specifics of your chosen service recovery threshold. If you have set your service recovery for 1 or 2 star interactions, you can assign all service recovery tickets to team leaders. Yes, if you have set your recovery of service for 1 or 2 star interactions, you can assign all service recovery tickets to team leaders. Let them handle the customers and see what they're speaking, what are they not liking, what can be improved, where is the scope of improvement, is it the cost, is it the service, is it the way somebody spoke, everything else. Alternatively, if you want to tackle all ratings under 5 stars, you may want to create a team entirely dedicated to service recovery. In some cases, it might make sense for the agents to handle the service recovery themselves. It all depends on your team size, overall objectives, and ticket volume. Number four, determine protocol. Set up a set of standards to help your service recovery triage different types of negative interactions. Categorize feedback with tags to help and use this to inform clear guidelines for each situation. For example, if the feedback is around pricing, service recovery teams should be able to easily find and execute the standard protocol, whether it's offering a refund, discount, or store credit. A service recovery strategy should help ensure everyone knows exactly what to do for a specific situation and can act quickly. In such a case, you can also have certain FAQs in place as to what to do if this is what is happening in and around the customer dissatisfaction. Resurvey the customer. Number five. Once the customer issue is resolved, send a follow-up feedback request to measure the impact of your service recovery efforts. Remember those calls that come to you for any service recovery? And in the end, the customer care executive says, "Sir, please rate this call after I am done. You will receive a rating of how much of my help was I to you." That helps them get much more understanding of how successful is the service recovery program. Successful service recovery not only allows your team to measure and report on the impact of the program, but also gives the customer a chance to reflect on the positive service experience. This positive feeling translates to brand loyalty, repeat purchases, and ideally brand advocacy within the network. Because this positive feeling is what I as a customer will transfer to A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. As your service recovery operation scales up, you can easily automate this process by triggering a new feedback request after a ticket is closed. So make sure that your customer is your first priority. And why they were not feeling a certain way, which is not positive in certain cases, should be your first priority to correct. Course correction is going to take your business from here to here and even beyond. CRM in product markets, a retail CRM. Now, retail CRM is the retail customer relationship management system, which enables us to collect and store customer information and profile of customers, such as their most recent purchase, important dates, phone numbers, and other contact details. This also aids you in identifying demand and generating more revenue, as well as improving your customers' experience at your store. Automated data collection or manual entry can provide a multitude of useful data, which you can use to improve your business and make it more effective and efficient and profitable. Consumers are more aware of items today as well as more demanding. They know exactly what they want and where they can get it. They are far more educated than they were about 20 years back. Retailers face a big difficulty in keeping their customers' loyalty. Customer behavior is influenced by marketing, social media platforms, improved accessibility. All of these factors are going to help you understand a customer behavior and influence it as well. CRM gives us an edge to cater to the audience effectively and efficiently depending on the requirements. A retail customer relationship management system should have the following benefits given this current digitalization. Collects and researches customer behavior and sales patterns by gathering and analyzing sales patterns over a period of time. Capitalizing on diversification of shops of all sizes, whether it is a medium to large scale, making a digital presence. Aids in the storage of client data, allowing you to forecast future trends, developing tactical strategies, and make key decisions from sales, marketing, or any other perspectives. A retail customer relationship management system should have the following benefits given its current digitalization. Possibility of more intentional advertising depending on repeat customers that give you vital information about their preferences. Why are these people buying repeatedly from you? What was the good message that you were able to give via your ads or your marketing campaigns? Delivers individualized customer service and long-term customer retention with the creation of tailored features. Here is a list of 8 benefits of implementing a CRM that can assist your retail business. Influence of CRM in the retail sector, segregation of cluster data, monitoring accuracy, drawing loyalty, tailored personalization, presence on multiple channels, cooperate internally, enhancing your strategy. Let's understand all of them one by one. Example 1, retail CRM. National Pet Supplies retailer Petco knows that providing valuable information is a proven way to build customer relationships. By providing a pet education center on its website, Petco positions itself as a helpful resource and gives customers a reason to keep visiting their site again and again and again and again, just for the education purposes. Petco wisely zeroes in on new pet parents with its educational material, capturing these key customers right at the start of the relationship with their pets. And just as they begin shopping for their new family member, the education and resource centers include new pet guides, care sheets, training tips, product guides, and much more. Everything is organized by pet species, giving the resource a personalized feel. Petco extends its CRM efforts with convenience features like a repeat delivery service, pharmacy, and a customer loyalty program. So you're getting them to trust you with the education material, and then eventually they're going to buy the pet supplies from you as well, because they learn to trust from you. They have learned to develop a relationship with their pet from you, as Petco in this example did it brilliantly. Get them aware, get them trust you, get them to finally purchase it from you. Example 2, what online floral delivery retailer ProFlowers has done. With a simple sign-up process, customers can use the company's reminder service to identify special occasions that could call for flowers and request an email alert when the event draws near. The service allows customers who set up accounts to add multiple reminders, with each one of them including the event date, the relevant person's name, and the relationship to the customer, or any special notes. When customers receive their email reminder, they can easily click directly through to shop for the floral gifts on the ProFlowers website. The company also uses detailed customer portraits to help segment audiences for targeted communications. This results in more relevant communications, which helps improve response rates. Thank you so much.